Love where you live. We are Radio Newark.
Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health and well-being. As always, thank you for listening to another one of our podcasts. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking an interest in mental health and well-being. You know, we do these podcasts because we want to bridge a gap. We want to bridge a gap between the way that mental health is currently seen and us viewing it in a much, much healthier way. So as always, we have a guest in the studio. We have Ian Stevens with us today. Welcome, Ian.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you so much for being here. So, Ian, I'm going to pass straight across to you. Why did you step forward and why were you interested in recording one of these podcasts with us? What was it?
I suppose, really, I like the idea of the Health and the Wellbeing podcast. It's great just to try and get people thinking about their general health.
Yeah.
And then I know I heard the thing about, does anyone work outdoors or like the outdoors? And I just live my life outdoors anyway. So I just thought, sure, there's no one better than me who can come and do that. And because I'm outside all the time, it's just a natural part of my life. So I don't even think it's any different to normal.
Yeah.
So I just try and sort of, if I can, help people get out there and enjoy life.
So outdoors for you isn't just about, I mean, obviously you work outside because you work on lawns and grass. What's your tag phrase?
We do grass.
We do grass.
Yes, that follows me everywhere, I'm afraid.
Yeah. It's perfect. So, but the outdoors is more than that for you, isn't it?
Yeah, so I work outside. So I met wife in 1990 and we spend our time outside. We've got a dog. So we're always outside walking.
Yeah.
And probably as long as I can remember, my mum and dad have always encouraged me and my sister to be outdoors, love the nature. So that's just all we do. And it's just probably goes through me like a stick of rock just being outside. And just the whole idea of being indoors just sends me a sort of shudder, really.
That's really interesting that you say that it started with mum and dad. And you know, in psychotherapy, we're always trying to get people to see what they were taught. Not always good things, but sometimes negative things that we were taught by mum and dad. But that is brilliant that your mum and dad encouraged you outside.
Yeah, well, so it's always been that we just go outside. And I think it's really, we're outside all the time and it's what they taught you.
Yeah.
And if you sort of said to me, oh, what did they teach you when you were 5-6 years old, you don't remember it, but because it happens so often.
It's just natural, isn't it?
It's just what it is.
It is what it is. Mm. So for you, what do you think the links are between being outside and mental health? Why do you think it's good for us?
Well, I just think if you go all the way, 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 way back, we're supposedly from caves.
Yeah.
And we just live indoor or live outside, apart from when we go into the caves, obviously, to sleep.
Yeah.
But we're generally outdoor people. We're not designed to be living in boxes, windowless rooms, and stuffy air and all that sort of thing. We should be outside. Admittedly, if it's rubbish weather and it's chucking it down with rain and it's horrible and it's cold, it might not be brilliant, but if you wrap yourself up well enough, it's not too bad. And I think being outside, it's all the fresh air and it's all the chemicals, without knowing what they all are at the moment, but it just raises or that reduces those stress levels and those things that are really bad for you.
Yeah. So the theory is, and actually it's not, I say that and it's not a theory, as you've just said, we are part animal. Going back thousands and thousands of years, we lived outside apart from being inside caves where we slept. But we have become very, very sophisticated. But there is still a part of our mind that is very much caveman, that is very primal. And if we don't go outside and we sit inside the sophisticated boxes that we have created for ourselves, then we go stir crazy. We literally go stir crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you go stir crazy and it's just the sedentary lifestyle that you develop as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting down all the time, your body doesn't like it very much and you end up with all sorts of problems and your blood pressure will raise and obviously your weight will go up and you have problems with joint mobility and that sort of stuff. So if you're just out and about all the time, it just keeps everything moving.
Yeah.
And I just think you just need to be out there, not running marathons and living in the wild, but just do stuff.
just being out there and walking a little bit. I was watching a program yesterday, and it was the one that you had recommended, and they were talking about how still certain jobs can be, and my job is inside, it's in an office, and it's very still. But there are more and more therapists now doing like walking therapy, so they'll take their clients and they'll just walk outside.
Yeah, well, with us, I've got a Fitbit that I wear all the time.
Yeah,
and if I were in our busy time in the spring, I can easily push out 30,000 steps
wow.
in a day.
That's amazing.
But probably in the week as well, an average, if I'm less than 10,000, I'm really surprised if it is less than that.
Yeah.
But you just keep on doing stuff. And after a time, it doesn't actually seem like it's a lot. You just keep on doing it.
Just do it.
And just being on your feet. And I know even my wife as well, we've got a desk at home, and she actually uses a stand-up desk.
Yeah.
She hasn't sat down, not because I'm forcing her to stand up, but she's just stood up for probably 18 months now, and she just doesn't want to sit down if she actually sits at a desk. But she'll stand there and she can look out the window, see what's going on, and then she'll take the dog out for a
walk.
So it's just the active side of it.
Interestingly, with the indoor stuff, somehow we assumed at some point that if we were at a desk that we should sit. I don't know where that came from.
Now, I don't know really, and we're looking to now get a proper desk, because we're looking to get one of these electrical gizmo things that go up and down.
Yeah,
do it properly. But I know if I'm at my desk, I sit down, but then I'm indoors less. But I've got the outdoors, literally a window sit away from me, so I can still look out.
Yeah.
But if you spend too long sitting down, I don't know. I just get, if it's a Sunday afternoon, and like yesterday with Storm Dennis was going through, it's like, well, we're not going to go out very far, but for us, we just feel a bit guilty because we're not out there doing something.
So you're outside every day?
Yeah, at some point every day, we're out there doing something. So Monday to Friday, we're doing the work. I'm either physically doing the work or fetching work or walking around. Take the dog for a walk. I go to the gym. It's in our village, so I'll even jog up to the gym and jog back from the gym.
Yeah.
So it is literally every single day.
You're literally like Mr. Outdoors, aren't you?
Yeah, and everyone sort of says to me, oh, look at your arms, they're lovely and brown. Look at you. But I do actually say to them, well, they're not out that often in January, and also you're not actually saying to me, can I have your job in January? Because most people, that's when they want to be indoors.
No, no, not at all. Yeah. I was just about to ask you a question about that, about your work in January, but we're here to talk about mental health, but it must be a hard time a year to work, particularly as we're recording this. I should say that we are in the middle of Storm Dennis, which you will all remember, even if this recording isn't released for a few weeks. But it must be hard. And you know, it's hard for people to be outside at times like this. I took the dogs for a walk yesterday on Sunday, and firstly, the dogs didn't want to go out because it was wet and it was windy, and I knew that I had to take them out for them to do their business. And I think I've gotten more and more used to being outside in the wet and wind, and actually, I'm way more comfortable with it than I ever have been.
Well, I went out with our dog last night. You got to the end of our drive, crossed over the road, got to the hedge opposite, and that was just when it had one of those real squally, heavy shower winds and everything. And he just stood there, and you could almost looking at me saying, why have you dragged me out there in this weather? And he stood there for 2 or 3 minutes, and then he just crossed back over the road, up our drive, and went back in again. And to be fair, he just held on to what he needed to do until the morning, because he wasn't going to do it. But with the weather and it's bad, to be honest, you just tend to crack on with it. If it's really, really awful, we don't take the dog out for a walk. We've been out there before when we've been in the Lake District up on the top of the hill, and it's driving rain, and why are we here?
Yeah.
But actually, it's not too bad. I think it was Bill Connolly once said, there's no such thing as bad weather, it's just the wrong clothing.
So
you just wrap up for it. And most Absolutely. People, when you're outside, you just get used to it, and it just becomes the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just linking back into why should we be outside, what's that about? The link is because we are part animal, because our history belongs outside. When we go back outside, we settle the brain a little bit and allow it just to breathe. You mentioned earlier that when we're outside, we're usually doing stuff, aren't we? So therefore, we get some exercise. We don't very often. In the summer, we will go outside, we might sit in the garden, might have a picnic, might go and read a book somewhere. But usually in the winter, if we go outside, we're out there to do something, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, you say about in the sort of in the summer, if it's nice weather.
Yeah.
Where we used to live in Sussex, if people know that, all the way down Sussex, it's Seven Sisters, right next to the sea.
Yeah.
And it's all lovely down there, but there was a wood, it's called Ebono Common. If you ever go down West Sussex, absolutely gorgeous place.
Yeah.
And we used to take a book there. We'd go to a local bookshop, and cost us a fortune, because we'd go to the bookshop, buy a book each, and then we'd go to the bakery, get what we wanted for lunch, and we'd just walk up. This is before we had a dog, so it was a bit easier.
Yeah.
But we'd walk into this wood, and there was a clearing. We knew that we'd been there loads of times, and we'd just sit there. It's a lovely walk into the clearing.
Yeah.
And then the way the wood was, there were two trunks that had laid on the floor.
Yeah.
So I'd be on one trunk or sitting against it. She'd be on the other trunk, my wife. We just get our book and we just sit there. We might be there for an hour, yeah. 2 hours, just sitting there reading. We might be reading the book. We might just put it down, look to see what's around about.
Yeah.
Listen to the birds. But
what a beautiful setting.
Yeah, and it is an absolutely lovely wood. And it's really in the middle of nowhere. So you can't hear anything. You might hear the occasional plane that goes over.
Yeah.
Right by, but there's nothing at all, and it's such a lovely wood, but no one ever visits, so it was almost like our place and no one else knows about it.
Oh, mate, they do now.
Yeah, unfortunately.
There's a thing called tree bathing, and I know that you sent me a link to it last week, but I heard about it before. So tree bathing is really briefly and simply being amongst trees and picking up they're not chemicals. They give off something, don't they?
Yeah, I can't remember what the chemical is. I can't remember what it's top of my head, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to remember. But they gave off this thing, but then that's protecting the plant against all the antibodies or whatever that are flying around, and then that supposedly comes into you.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of forest bathing, we've done that for years and years without actually knowing it was forest bathing.
Why is it good for you? Yeah.
But we just go for a walk, and you can see a tree or a plant, and you think, oh, that's quite nice, and you'll just feel it and think, oh, what a lovely texture. Or we were in Clamber Park yesterday and doing a walk, and wife was dealing with the dog, who'd just done what he had to do, so I was wandering around and I saw a fungus that was growing on a branch.
Yeah.
Just saw a little nudge of a orange thing sticking around from behind this branch.
Yeah.
Went around, this amazing, really vibrant orange fungus, so I took a photo of it and stuck it on my social media. And to be fair, I did actually put wibble wobble fungus on a branch, which didn't go down very well. But again, it's just the whole thing of we're just doing a walk, and this unexpected thing just suddenly turns up, and you think, oh, that's really nice. And then I shared it, and lots of other people thought, oh, that's really nice as well. And there's always something to see whenever you're out there.
So in that scenario, you're outside and you are in nature. But you're doing more than that, because you're being a little bit mindful as well by looking at stuff. So sometimes in therapy, I'll say to people, are you outside, Nori? Are you walking every day? And they go, yeah. I walk the dog for 45 minutes every day. And then I go, but are you being really mindful? And they go, what do you mean? I'm like, are you walking with awareness, or are you just walking? And usually they're just walking with awareness. So then I set them a little task, and the task is to take 3 pictures. One of a kind of a, like a vista, a view, one close up, and then one of their choice. And the reason I do that is to get them to look, to do exactly what you did quite naturally by looking at this fungus. Get them to look at something, a leaf, a branch, a stone. It doesn't matter what it is, but to go into it and really look at it.
Well, that's interesting, because I must have probably been into one of your therapy sessions, because that's generally what we'll do. There'll be that sort of thing. We'll go along and we'll see a picture. And even if it's just walking through the woods and you've got the path, and especially in the dappled spring sunlight coming through, so you'll just take a picture down through there. And I've generally take a picture of something that I see that's up close. So there's always something that you can really pick up on.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in a walking group on Facebook, and the number of people that sort of say, oh, I was doing a walk today and it was a 20-mile walk and it was brilliant, and we went for ages. A lot of the time we'll be outside, we can probably be out for 3 hours, but we might only walk 4 miles.
Yeah.
But the things you see within that 3 miles are a whole lot more than these people that are just stomping out the miles. And
yeah, just doing them.
Yeah, so we did a walk in the Peach Strip one time, and we're just going along quite merrily, and it was dry stone wall, you know, Peter Street, there's walls all over the place. And I suddenly noticed there was a fossil just in one of the walls and on the rock.
Yeah.
And it took me ages to then get all the way to the end of this wall. So like, oh, there's a fossil. Oh, there's another one. And we're just picking up all sorts of things. But if you're just focused, just stomping out your steps. Your Fitbit, then it doesn't really count. It's just seeing everything.
You know, the I say this often, but the body needs exercise and the mind needs some level of stillness. And actually, I just realised that you can get both of those on a walk as long as you're doing the steps, but then occasionally, every now and again, looking at something. Like we said earlier, like you find the fossils, a leaf, a flower, a view, but just to stop and take that in and then get back on with your steps, because then the mind gets something as well.
Well, I don't know if you've ever done it as well, but it's even like the small little things you can find, all the trees or whatever, but I don't know if you've done a walk with someone before and you look up, it's nice, cloudy, fluffy, white cloud day, and you'll say, oh, look, there's an elephant or a something. The number of times that we see a something that's up in the sky, I don't know whether it's because we've been together for so long, so it's quite sad until we both know, but we'll both know that exact shape. And then you watch that same cloud and it changes into a something.
Yeah.
But again, that's partly the imagination that kicks in, which is what the brain needs to.
Now, the reason you're connecting like that is because, like you say, you've been together for so long, so your brain's become more synced. Mm-hmm. So it's not sad. We don't say it's sad, but it's really nice thing. You know, when you think about being outside, there are so many beautiful things to look at. At night, was it last night that I was walking outside, and I remember looking up and going, "Oh wow, look at the stars," because they were really beautiful. We must have been in a dark place. And I looked up and I went, the stars look really beautiful. It's quite a clear night last night. Daytime, you've got the sunshine, you've got clouds. Oh, my goodness, clouds are amazing. You know, the way they shape, form, the colours they produce are just incredible. And then you've got things like plants and buildings and walls and leaves. And we are surrounded by beautiful things if we can just stop and look.
Yep. What you say about that you're outside looking at the stars, it was probably about a year ago. I was out, again, taking the dog for his evening stroll. And I'm always up, if it's a clear night, I'm always looking for satellites.
Yeah.
Because everyone sort of says, oh, it's the International Space Station. But there are satellites all over the place flying across the sky.
Yeah.
And I was out there one night, and I saw one. It was heading on about a north-south trajectory, something like that. I thought, that's really nice. And then I thought, oh, hang on, there's another one. And that was going on a south-north trajectory.
Yeah.
And I saw that as I was looking there, it was only about a foot to the right of the moon, but obviously it's probably tens of thousands of miles away. But they went straight past each other, and you can almost have visions of either satellite just waving at each other.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before.
Wow.
And I'll probably never see it again. I sometimes see the sort of carry on that same trajectory.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking out there thinking, oh, I wonder if this is the night I'll see it again.
Yeah.
But to actually see that with them going straight past each other, right by the moon, it was just absolutely incredible.
Do you know Alice Bradbury?
I've heard of Alice Bradbury.
Peachy Clean.
Yes, yes.
So she put a post on Facebook the other week, and it was, oh my goodness, I've just seen. And what she'd seen was it seven or eight, what she described as bright objects in the sky, all kind of going one after the other, but almost in a line. So it couldn't have been an aeroplane, because aeroplanes, we know what they look like. But there was these seven or eight really bright lights that all passed through the sky in a dead straight line. Just like, oh my God, what was that? What was that? What have I just seen? And it turns out it was the release of a set of satellites that had all been released like within seconds of each other. And they were just being like shot off into wherever they go to. But she'd seen it, and then one or two other people had seen it as well, and gone, oh my goodness, what was that? What was that? And it was these satellites being released.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible just to be there at that exact moment.
Yeah.
But my sister's really good at all her constellations and everything, and I know I not shouldn't be better, because I'm sitting looking at Kevin, and he'll tell me, don't say should. So I would like to develop my skills of identifying constellations a lot better.
Perfect.
And I really enjoy it. So I was talking to my sister, who's down in Berkshire, and I was trying to say to her, so what's the star thing that's on the top of the Orion's belt?
Yeah.
Which is the Betelgeuse one.
Right.
In the end. So I was chatting away to her, and all of a sudden I went, whoa, what was that? And she said, oh, did you see that as well? And she's all the way down in Berkshire. We're up in Nottinghamshire. But there was a shooting star that went down.
Wow.
But she saw it. And so to be, I don't know, 150 miles away, wherever it is.
We both saw it,
the same thing. And it was pretty amazing. So obviously, and if you're not looking up and around and at things, you just wouldn't pick up on this stuff.
Yeah. Mm. And again, that's being really mindful. So being really mindful, being outside is not just about being outside during the day, it's about being outside at night as well, because we are still surrounded by the most beautiful things that we see.
And also, if you go out at night in the summer, I don't know if you've ever seen glowworms, but they are they are the most incredible thing. They're less of them around now, but it's basically a fluorescent green glowing bottom these things have, which you'll see them in the woods. And you can see them from a long way off.
That's so incredible.
We used to see them a lot when we were down in Sussex, and we used to go out and see a thing called a nightjar, which is a bird. And it's a really, if you put nightjar into Google or wherever you're searching for and play the noise that it makes, it's just this really weird chirring noise, and it's a really haunting. And sometimes you'll see like these ghost programs, and this noise will be in the background, and you won't know what it is, but you'll think, well, that sounds a bit weird. But we used to do that all the time, in our back garden, we've got owls. So we've got little owls and barn owls. And sometimes you go out and you'll just see a ghost of a shadow that goes past. But if you're not out there looking, you just don't see it.
That's amazing. Mm. I'll tell you what I'd love to see is it fireflies?
Yeah, well, that's similar to the glowworms. Yeah. That's sort of the same sort of thing. Yeah.
I'd love to go somewhere and see. So if anybody's listening to this and they want to take me to see fireflies, I'd like to go and see fireflies. It's on my bucket list.
Well, that could be part of your mental health sort of experience, that someone could pay for that as a trip for you.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
I'm up for that. Yeah. I'm up for that. I'll do a study on it if you need me to. Tell me about the caddis fly.
Now there's a story. That's where people thought we were totally mad in the Peak District, because everyone was stomping away doing their walks, and we were going over one of these, I don't know if you've ever been walks in the Peak District, but little sort of clapper bridge things. They're not very big, but just goes over a little stream.
Yeah.
So we're walking along. We had our previous dog with us at the time, who was keen to get on the walk. And then he just had to stand there while we were just looking over the top of this bridge. So I was knelt down over the top. And caddis fly larvae, I don't know if you know them at all, but they're the insect larvae of one of the flies that come out. And all they do, they just trundle around the bottom of the stream bed.
Yeah.
And they're really incredible, because they make themselves a little home.
Yeah.
And they stick little bits of grit and bits of greenery on their back, so that if a predator comes along, they'll just sit there nice and quiet, and they'll say they don't know they're there. At the most, they're probably centimetre and a half long. But we were just fascinated, because we saw these walking around on the bed, and we were probably there, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, just looking at these things. And everyone's just storming past us, and you could tell they were just looking down at us with that real sort of condescending, what are you doing? You're meant to be out walking. But it just absolutely fascinated us. And again, satellites, you're looking up.
Yeah.
If you're not looking down, looking at these things, little tiniest bit of movement. But actually, if you think, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
And you keep on looking. And then you then start to see what they're up to. And you can sort of see their sort of lifestyle, or the way they're sort of moving around and what they're up to. It's really incredible. And sometimes you can see them sticking something on their back as well.
Wow. Mm. And there again, we have mindfulness. So when, if you're struggling to understand what the term mindfulness means, remembering that mindfulness, awareness, and conscious mind all mean the same thing. That's what it is. It's about looking at something, but really looking at it. And as you walk through nature like that, we must pass thousands of things that are incredible, that are so little that we don't even see them.
Yeah, and you don't even need to know what they are. I think, I used to work on golf courses for 25 years, and someone came in to see us one time as a bit of an ecological study on one of the courses I was at, and he was saying about all the outdoors, and I think he said it, I never quite remember the term, but it was almost like subliminal enjoyment.
Yeah.
The fact you don't need to know what it is you're looking at or hearing, but the whole experience of it just makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And it's just like, people know what thrushes are and blackbirds and robins, but if you heard one in the woods, you wouldn't necessarily know it was that.
No.
But if you saw it singing, you say, oh yeah, that's the thing making the noise.
Yeah.
But you just know that you like what you're hearing and seeing.
Yeah. Mm. And the same with going back to tree bathing, it's the same with that. We might feel nice when we've walked to the forest, but actually there's some physical reasons that's the case, because of the I still don't know whether to use the word chemicals or not. Trees give off something that we then take on that makes us feel better.
Yeah, I think it just generally makes you just, it just calms you down.
Yeah.
If you're away from all the noise and the hubbub of life.
Yeah.
It'll just automatically, you tend to find you're breathing lowers unless you're climbing a steep hill, in which case you're getting out of breath. But generally,
yeah,
everything's just all much calmer in the woods. So
I think the mind feels safer and feels more at home in wood type environments.
Yeah.
Not wood, outdoor environments.
I know certainly for me, when I'm doing my work, if we've got a large job that I'm working on, I might just be walking up and down because, say, we look after grass, so I'll be out there spraying the grass or whatever it is. And some jobs I can be doing it for maybe a couple of hours, having to go to and fro back to the van to fill up the sprayer again. But I'll just get back into a rhythm. I'll just be walking up and down. I know what I'm doing. I'm not really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it's whether it's the right term or not, but the brain just switches off.
Yeah.
It's obviously doing what it's got to do, but it knows what it's doing. So it doesn't need to be full on your face saying.
It powers down. It powers down to a level that it can just manage what you're doing because it's a simpler task. Mm.
But also when I'm doing those, that's then it's thinking about, it's doing the task it's doing, but that's when I get a lot of my, I could call it creative, all my social media type stuff.
Yeah.
I suddenly think, oh, I can do such and such, or I can do something else. But you can then start thinking about different things and you pick up all sorts of stuff. And it's same with any task, even if it's inside or outside. If you're struggling with it, just step away for 10, 15 minutes and come back and you probably find you've got a solution to it because you just thought too much about it while you're there.
So through your job, you create those moments of moments where the mind gets the chance to power down. And that's when like you've just said, the creative side then kicks in because it has room. But if you're really stressed over something, it doesn't have the room to then be creative as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're really stressed, it's not just the creative that you can't active. You're really worrying about everything. It's all that usual fight or flight sort of situation. So you're really worried about, I know, did you put the bins out? Did you do this?
Yeah.
Did you do that? All sorts of things. And
well, the mind's just trying to survive at points like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm really lucky, whether it's because I spent all my time outside and it's just my general being that I don't really get too stressed. I'm quite lucky. I must get it in some ways, but I just don't really get it too much of it. So it infuriates the hell out of my wife because I just don't do it. It's like, why don't you get worried? I say, well, there's no point. Blow your top. Can't be bothered. So I just don't do it. And I hope that sometimes when I'm doing that, that will then start to just spread out to other people. So, and I do, it's probably the wrong word. And again, looking at you, you're probably saying, I shouldn't be doing this. Get into my therapy session. But I tell people this, I've talked to loads of people, either outside work or within our work remit, and just sort of say, look, I'm just a worry sponge. So if you just want to rant down the phone at me or just have a coffee, just talk at me, I don't mind. You can, I'm not saying I'm not listening, but I can take it on board and it won't then affect me.
Yeah,
but if it helps you to get it out from you to rant at someone, I've got no official qualifications at all, but sometimes it's just someone that you can go at.
I call that a download session. So sometimes we need to download, we need to offload, we need just to get rid of stuff, and that's what you're offering there. Sometimes we want to download, but then want the other person to feed back. So sometimes with my partner, I'll say, so are you just downloading or do you want me to respond? And my partner will either go, no, you can respond, or he'll say, no, I'm all right, thank you. And at which point I go, all right then, no worries, just needed to download, which is perfect.
So I'll probably find that I end up with people doing the dip because I'm a typical bloke. I'll probably do the download but not necessarily listen and feedback. So did you say something? Sorry, was I meant to respond?
did you want me to respond?
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about your love of the great outdoors and how that started. And I think I remember you saying that it started with mum and dad encouraging you outside. Yeah?
Yeah, so I don't even know when it was, but we, say again, in Sussex, and we were only 10 minutes from the, well, not even 10 minutes from the countryside, so we're always out and about.
Yeah.
And this was a few years ago now. So when I was really small, I just used to be outside in the days when you used to go out and play all the time. So you'd come back if you're hungry or wet or whatever it is. But we'd go out on holidays and we wouldn't do the sun beaches. We'd go off to I know, Lake District Tour,
yeah,
Scotland, all sorts of things, and just be doing lots of stuff. And I was probably taught lots of stuff about the outside.
Yeah.
And not necessarily known about it. But it was about, it might have been less than a year ago now, I suppose, Notts Wildlife Trust actually asked me to write a piece for them. Just, it was like my wildlife.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be about me writing about, with our work, or my work, I see bee orchids, which are these lovely flowers you find in the lawns.
Yeah.
And the fact that I was seeing lots of them. So it was meant to be around that. But I started to write this piece, and I suddenly found I was becoming more and more emotional, because actually this thing about the orchids went all the way back to my mum and dad.
Aww.
And I wrote this thing and sort of said it was because of them and me and my sister and what the love that we've known of the wildlife. And I suddenly realised that they wrote it and they sort of said to me, this is it and we're ready to publish it. Let me know when you're ready. But I wanted to see, or my mum and dad see it first, because they were the ones that got me to where I am on my journey. And I couldn't quite believe how emotional I got just by writing this and what was coming out on it. It was incredible.
So we call that little thing reflection.
Mm.
So you were through a task that somebody else had given you, you went back and did some exploration and found some stuff that you weren't thinking about every day, because you don't need to.
Mm.
But what an amazing exercise. Yeah.
And that was part of, I was obviously always wanting to, or always do, want people to know about the outdoors and nature because I enjoy it. But after that, I just thought, right, okay, I'm wanting to do more of that now. I'm not going to be out there really pushing the message, but just do what I can do just to encourage. And if someone's stuck indoors all the time, doesn't do anything outside, and they just think, actually, because of this, I can do something.
Yeah.
Just one person who's just changed in a small way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Makes it worthwhile.
If I'm working, I said this to you earlier, but if I'm working with somebody who is very, usually very depressed, but actually it could be used for anxiety as well, I'll say to them, I kind of need you outside for 30 minutes every day, just having a short walk. And then they might come back to me and go, well, I've got nowhere to walk, and there's all I can do is walk around the streets. And I'm like, that's fine. Mm. As a beginning, that's absolutely fine. Just walk around the streets. But notice things as you're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I do say to people, if you've not gone out at all, again, it's not all about the big marathon walks where you're going for 15, 20 miles walks. Just go around the block. Wherever you're living, there's likely to be something that you can see. There'll be a flower bed, or a good point is a tree. This time of year, it's great because there's no leaves on there, assuming you pick a normal deciduous one.
Yeah.
So there's no leaves. And try and find one that's got a lovely shape to it.
Yeah.
And then as the seasons develop, you can just watch your tree. Take photos of it.
Yeah.
We've got one of the people in my work network. He's moved now, but he used to post all the time of on his morning dog walk. It was the Mighty Oak, he called it.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely shaped tree. And the number of photos he had, and I just absolutely loved the way that it was in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
And it was almost like his tree. It's like no one else is seeing it. It's just me. And you just see how it all develops over the seasons.
What a lovely focal point.
Mm.
And how it sheds its leaves and then grows them back again. And trees are amazing. There's a lot of images around that kind of compare the makeup of a tree, its roots, the top half, and how we kind of almost resonate with that.
Yeah, and with the obviously the leaves, they're dropping all over the winter, and everyone sort of thinks, oh, it's really rubbish. But if you think what a tree is doing, it's dropped its leaves in the winter, but it's just getting ready for the spring again.
Yeah.
It's just working away, doing what it's got to do. And in another 2 or 3 months, they'll just burst back into life.
Yeah.
But it just steadily pulls away. So good, strong roots, nice, stable footing, and just being its own thing. It's not competing with anything necessarily. Yeah. It's just growing and doing what it does.
So it kind of has to shed its old stuff to make way for the new stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit like humans, that. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
Sometimes we need a good clear out so as we can make way for the new stuff. Ian, unfortunately, we are at the end of our recording. Do you have anything that you would like to leave the listener with?
Well, I just touched on the, say, find a tree or something.
Yeah.
But all I would say is it's not about the safari adventures.
No. Nope.
You don't have to go whale watching or anything like that. Just get out there. Just start off with 10 minutes, even if it's in your back garden. If you've not got back garden, just visit the shopping centre or somewhere there'll be some green space.
Yeah.
Just have a look and just sit and look at plants. And as the spring comes on, you'll be seeing little ladybirds coming through and all sorts of stuff. Watch the bees feeding off the flowers.
Yeah.
Don't do very much. If you find it's too much, just spend 10 minutes outside. Just try and start enjoying it, and then hopefully the 10 minutes will turn into 20 minutes and then turn into an hour, and then you'll just find that being outside, you won't think, I've got to go outside. It's just, I'm going outdoors, because that just becomes part of what you will be.
Yeah, because your mind, what will happen in the beginning of that, from a psychology perspective, is your mind might reject it, and it might give you excuses that it's too cold, it's too windy, it's too wet, it's too whatever. But that's your mind trying to protect you from change, because the mind doesn't like change. But work through it. We need the outdoors. We just need it.
But if you do get some days when you think the whole thing of the bad weather or not feeling great, don't push yourself to do it.
Yeah.
Don't go out, because if you push yourself to do it, the experience isn't going to be right.
Yeah.
So just stay indoors. If you're feeling a bit stressed out that day, just stay in the comfortable environment you're used to.
Yeah.
When you're feeling a bit better, go back out. And when you're ready, go. Because the outdoors and nature, they're still going to be there.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. There's different things come and go. But if you go outdoors, you've still got fresh air. It's always going to be there. So
yeah,
just enjoy what you can.
And it's free.
Oh, absolutely.
It's, you know they say that there's nothing in life that's free, but walking outside is free.
Yeah, well, if you go on a Saturday, if you take yourself to the garden centre or the shopping centre,
yeah,
which is probably my worst nightmare, we could do that. Or you can go to the countryside, do a walk, do yourself a picnic.
Yeah.
It hasn't cost you anything. And you're not having to be with all the other hordes of people, picking up all your bugs and everything else. So go off in your own little world, explore things, and take your kids out there as well, because that's the message that I really want to probably take out, because I was taught that from an early age, all about nature and the wildlife in the countryside. And if we don't get the kids to learn all about it, we don't want to necessarily preach to them, you need to do this, that and the other. But if you've got a love of the wildlife and the nature and the countryside and a respect for it, you're less likely to be damaging it and everything. So, get your kids out there and just do stuff.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you so much. That was fascinating.
Right, thank you, Kevin.
I really hope that people will take from that, and if they're not outside, get outside a little bit, because it really is good for mental health. Thank you so much. That's it. We are almost at the end. Remember that we do these podcasts for you. If we are not covering subjects that you want us to cover, then drop us a line. If we are and you're enjoying them, drop us a line. Let us know. Give us feedback. We want your feedback. We want to know that you either want more from us or that we're hitting the mark. Remember, as I always say, please, please, please take care of yourself. Be very, very kind, because you are worth it. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.